We're moving into, coming up against one of my favorite portions of the Bible. Let's move on. Chapter 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city a heap, and a fortified city a ruin, a palace of foreigners to be no city. It shall never be rebuilt. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee in the city of terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, and when the blast of the terrible ones is like a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of aliens as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. Now that phrase, of course, Isaiah is using antithetically. You and I are familiar with the biblical use of the term branch, the Hebrew word tzemek. It's interesting to me that there's 20 different words that can mean branch in the Hebrew, but the word tzemek that is used is always used of Messiah, and it's the word tzemek that's the name of the principal star in the constellation Virgo, the Virgin, the tzemek, the seed of the corn and the tzemek, the branch. Speaking, of course, of the branch, the root of David, it's a messianic term. And we've seen that several places in Isaiah already. We've talked about it. We'll be seeing it again. But here, Isaiah is using it flipped over. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Different guy. Who's this guy? This is obviously Satan's man that we're talking about, the coming world leader. The branch of the terrible ones shall be what? Brought low. Reminds us that in Genesis 3:15, that famous verse that starts all prophecy in the Old Testament about the Messiah, when God declares war on Satan, he says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. And out of that, we get the famous title of Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. We hear about it a lot. Don't forget there's another seed, the seed of Satan. Jesus talks about that in John chapter 8. In his little dialogue with the Pharisees, they called him a bastard. In the politeness of the King James, you may miss that. Let's go for it. Let's go. John 8. I want to highlight this to you, so as you read the Gospels, don't let the politeness of the King James hide from you the dynamics of what's really going on. John 8 is one of these fascinating dialogues between Jesus Christ and the religious leadership. It fascinates me that Jesus Christ, every time he encountered a sinner, it was with compassion and forgiveness. Every episode, woman taken adultery or you name it, it evokes in him one of care, compassion, concern, forgiveness. There's one group of people that has just the opposite reaction every time you see it, and that is where he speaks vituperatively, violently, vigorously, and that's against the professional religionists of that day. And, of course, this is one of those exchanges. And we obviously don't have time to go. We won't divert to go through the whole thing. But when you get to verse 18, Jesus says, I am the one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that hath sent me beareth witness of me. And he makes reference to his Father, Father God. In verse 19, they said unto him, where is thy Father? See, you missed that unless you're watching closely. What they're saying, they're alluding to his apparent illegitimate birth. And by the way, if anyone says there's no evidence for the historicity of Jesus Christ, that's wrong. It's in the Talmud. Talmud refers to him as the illegitimate son of Mary. Interesting. And they said unto him, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, ye know neither me nor my Father. And he takes off here. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father. And he goes on. Before he finishes, he tells them, you want to talk about fatherhood? I'll tell you about fatherhood. When he gets to verse 44, he says, ye are of your father. And he's speaking to the Pharisees. These are the professionals. These are ones that made a career of trying to keep the law. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And he keeps going at it. You know, they, of course, say he has a demon and all this. He keeps at it. He says, verse 56, is your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day? And he saw it and was glad. And the Jews said unto him, you're not even 50 years old. How can you see Abraham? He says, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You and I miss what that says. They didn't. They took up stones to cast at him. Why? Because he was claiming to be the voice in the burning bush. And of course, he slips out. Interesting. Gets kind of aggressive. I love that. That's kind of fun. I've forgotten how I got this far afield. I think I deviated once before. We read down verse 5, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. That, of course, echoes Revelation 19, when the branch of the terrible ones will indeed be brought very low by none other than Jesus Christ himself. Verse 6, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, a fat things full of marrow of wines on lees, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people and the veil that is spread over all nations. The veil that is spread over all nations. We know about the veil that's over Israel. Paul tells us about that. They're blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Romans 11:25. What's interesting is here and there we're beginning to see that veil lifted. I think it's kind of exciting. But I think the veil will be formally lifted when the church is out of here. When's the church out of here? When it's complete. And God will once again deal with the planet Earth through Israel, through the 144,000 and all of that, that Revelation 7 and 14 detail for us. Back to Isaiah verse 8, he shall swallow up death in victory. Oh, what a fascinating phrase. I thought Paul invented that in 1 Corinthians 15. No, he was drawing upon Isaiah. Remember? 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, which climaxes at the end of it, of course, in the rapture. But he, in verses 54 and 55, he mentions about death and victory, grave where is thy sting, and so forth. Quoting from Isaiah, 25:8. He will swallow up death and victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. I thought that was John in the book of Revelation. Yes, but he's drawing from where? From Isaiah. There's at least 357 direct quotes in Revelation from the Old Testament. And if it sounds strange to us in Revelation, it's only because we haven't mastered the Old Testament. God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Praise God, huh? For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trampled down under him, even as straw is trampled down for the dunghill. And, of course, Moab is a literal place, but it also sometimes is used figuratively to refer to those that are false profession. And you can do a study of Edom and Moab, Ammon. Those are all worthwhile doing. Start from where they actually started in Genesis. Track their history and their relationship with Israel. And you'll get a flavor not only of their future, but also of how they're used idiomatically in the Scripture. Verse 11, and he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of thy wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground even to the dust.